Grace be unto you and peace from our triune God, our God who has indeed been committed to our salvation from all of eternity. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, commitment. Commitment is a word that people use pretty often in our day and age. And yet, even though people often use the word commitment, I often wonder if they understand the concept of commitment or how to apply it to their own individual lives. According to Webster's Dictionary, commitment very simply means to pledge or promise to do something. I personally find that dip and definition somewhat vague. In a marriage class that I used to teach, I emphasized to God's people that in the context of Christian marriage, commitment is this: the desire of an individual to maintain or improve the quality of the relationship for the joint benefit of the partners. It is evidenced, and that's a word that I'd like you to note, it is evidenced by both a desire and actions to not only continue in the relationship, but to improve it, to sacrifice for it, to invest in it, to link personal goals to it, and to seek the partner's welfare. For me, at least, that is a much more in-depth definition of commitment, again, especially when it applies to a Christian marriage. Our sermon text for today very clearly and emphatically speaks to us on the subject of commitment. Our goal, then, this morning is to look at commitment from two different perspectives. First of all, let's look at God's commitment to us. And then, in the light of God's commitment to us, let's look at our commitment to our God. Our text for today takes place shortly before the death of God's servant, Joshua. By the grace of God and under Joshua's leadership, the children of Israel had now entered into the promised land of Canaan. By the grace of God and under the leadership of Joshua, the children of Israel had taken possession of the promised land and, for the most part, had broken the Canaanite resistance. By the grace of God and under the leadership of Joshua, each of the 12 tribes of Israel had now received their portion of the promised land to serve as their inheritance for generations to come. While many of the hardships and many of the difficulties were now behind them, Joshua knew. Joshua knew that there were still some very difficult days. There were still some very difficult tasks that the children of Israel would face. And so Joshua also knew that the children of Israel had a tendency to be rather rebellious, rather stiff-necked, rather fickle in their commitment to their Lord. And so Joshua gathered the children of Israel at the city of Shechem, and he spoke to them on the subject of commitment. First and foremost, however, Joshua reminded God's people of the Lord's commitment to them. Since our text for today skips Joshua 24, verse 3, all the way through Joshua 24, verse 13, and since I consider those verses to be extremely critical to a proper understanding of this text, I put an insert into your bulletin today that includes everything from Joshua chapter 24, verse 1, through chapter 24, verse 18. I invite you to take that bulletin out and follow with me as we go through it. Especially, I would like you to note how often God emphasizes his commitment to his people. In Joshua 24, verse 2, Joshua says to the people of God, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." And then Joshua goes on to emphasize for God's people all of the various ways in which God evidenced his commitment to them through actions. Look at verse 3. "But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac." Verse 4. "I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau." Verse 5. I sent Moses and Aaron. I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there. I brought you out. Verse 6. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 7. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Verse 8. I brought you to the land of the Amorites. I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you. Verse 10. I would not listen to Balaam. I delivered you out of his hands. Turn it over and look at verse 11. I gave them into your hands. Verse 12. I sent the hornet ahead of you. And then in verse 13. I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. As the Lord has Joshua recount the history of God's Old Testament children from the days of Abraham until the days of Joshua, how many times? How many times does he have Joshua emphasize that God's commitment to his people was evidenced in actions? If you didn't keep track, it's 21. 21 times in just 11 short verses, the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, emphasized to his people, this is what I have done for you. Why, my friends? Why does the Lord emphasize his commitment to his people? I think that the answer to that question is obvious. It's very simple, and yet it's very important to remember. As the people of God gathered there in the promised land at the city of Shechem, the Lord reminds them of his commitment to them. A commitment that was evidenced, not just in words, but also in actions. Does the Lord God do anything similar for us, his people, as we gather together in his name right down to this very day? The answer, of course, is absolutely yes. Think about it. If God the Holy Spirit had chosen to continue this list, including things that God has done to evidence his commitment to us, that list would be rather long, wouldn't it? The God of heaven evidenced his commitment to you when the Virgin conceived and gave birth to the eternal Son of God. The God of heaven evidenced his commitment to you when the Son of God lived an absolutely perfect life for you in your place. The God of heaven and earth evidenced his commitment to you when he willingly endured the rejection and the ridicule of many of his own people, as we heard in our gospel lesson for today. But more than anything else, my friends, the Lord, the one and only living God, evidenced his commitment to you right there on a hill called Calvary. Could there possibly be a more powerful evidence of God's commitment to you than the sacrifice of his only begotten Son on the cross in order to completely pay the debt of sin that you owed to him? But what does this mean? What practical application does God's commitment to you have for your day-to-day life? Think about it in this way. Every single morning, when you get up and look at yourself in the mirror, God's commitment to you assures you that you can look at yourself in that mirror and say, I am a saved child of God. No matter what may or may not go on in your life that day, no matter what may be going on in your own personal world around you, no matter what may be going on in the Middle East, no matter what may be going on in Sacramento or in Washington, no matter what may be going on at home, no matter what may be going on at work, no matter what may be going on at school, no matter what. God's commitment to you enables you to look into that mirror and know deep down in your heart that you are saved for all of eternity, you are a saved child of your heavenly Father. And if anyone ever dares to try and rob you of that confidence, simply stop and remember the evidence that God has given to you, the evidence of his commitment to you. Remember the baptismal font, where God evidenced his commitment to you by washing away all of your sins and adopting you to be his own dearly beloved child. Remember the Lord's Holy Supper, where the God of heaven and earth continues to evidence his commitment to you by giving you his true body and his true blood as visible, tangible proof that all of your sins are completely forgiven. Remember the Holy Scriptures, where the God of heaven evidences his commitment to you by not only reminding you of everything that he has done for you, but also revealing to you many of the wonderful blessings that he has stored up waiting for you in his heavenly home. Remember the most powerful evidence of God's commitment to you that there is, the cross of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In light of what God has done for you, in light of God's commitment to you, the Lord God of heaven and earth now comes to you today, and he speaks the exact same words that he spoke to the children of Israel so many years ago through Joshua. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." It is critically important for us to remember, my friends, that just as the Lord God spoke these words to his chosen people, people who had already been brought into a covenant relationship with him, so also God is speaking these words to you, people who by his power and by his grace have already been brought to faith in Jesus as your only Savior from sin. These words are not spoken in the context of justification, how we were declared not guilty by the living God himself. Our justification is the work of God the Son alone. Nor were these words spoken in the context of conversion, how a person becomes a Christian. Our conversion is purely the work of God the Holy Spirit alone. No, my friends, these words are spoken in the context of sanctification, how we openly live, how we openly reveal, how we openly proclaim that faith that God himself has created in our hearts. Each and every single day, you and I choose. We choose whom or what we are going to serve as our God, as we simply live our day-to-day life, as we spend our money, as we use our gifts, talents, and abilities, as we prioritize our day, our week, our month, our year, our life, as we strive to live as a Christian in this sin-filled world, we are not only choosing whom we are going to serve as our God, but we are also giving evidence to the people around us as to whom we choose to serve each and every day. With that in mind, let me suggest this. As you stand in front of that mirror in the morning and remember God's commitment to you, as you stand in front of that mirror in the morning and know deep down in your heart that you are saved, saved for all of eternity, daily recommit your heart and your life to your Savior God. Start each and every day by saying to yourself, "Today, I will give testimony to the fact that I am a Christian." As you go throughout your day, ask yourself, "How can I faithfully serve my Savior today? What can I do to openly give testimony to the fact that I am committed to serving the one and only true God?" And as you lay your head down in your pillow at night and reflect back over the course of the day, Remember the cross of your Savior. Remember that even if we stumble in our commitment to our Lord will never, ever stumble in his commitment to us. Tragically, the children of Israel who gathered together here at Shechem, the very same people who boldly said to Joshua, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Tragically, it did not take long for the people of God to lose sight of their commitment to their Lord. Almost as soon as Joshua and that entire generation of Israelites had died, the children of Israel abandoned the commitment that they made to the Lord here at Shechem. One of the reoccurring laments in the book of Joshua is found in the book of Judges. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Don't let that happen to you, my friends. Don't let your commitment to the Lord your God slip away. Whatever you need to do to keep your heart and your life focused on God's commitment to you, do it. If that means putting a cross up in every single room of your house, then do it. If that means taking a piece of paper and writing on that piece of paper, "I am a saved, forgiven, and baptized child of God," and then putting that paper into your pocket or into your purse, into your desk, or taping it on that mirror in the bathroom where you are going to see it each and every day, then do it. Do whatever it takes to keep your heart and your life focused on God's commitment to you. For then, by the grace of God, like Joshua here in our text, you will always be empowered to say, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." To God be the glory. Amen.